This morning's program wears two hats. It's part of an ongoing series that we have virtually every Sunday, Kollel Yom Rishon, Midrashet Yom Rishon. And it's also part of a series of events this week connected with the Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb Prize, celebrating a lifetime of achievement of Dr. Lamb and honoring Chief Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks as its first recipient. I want to take a moment to express my own personal Akar Satov and the Akar Satov of all of us in our community to Dr. Lamb, a distinguished leader of American Orthodoxy for more than half a century and of our institution of Yeshiva University for close to three decades. There's a pasuk in the Sefer that bears his name, Sefer Nachum, that describes Dr. Lamb's tenacious and passionate efforts on behalf of our community. Natsar Mitzura, Tzapei Derech, Chazek Masnaim, Ameitz Koach Ma'od. Man the guard posts, watch the road, gird your strength, and gather much vigor. I want to frame my moment of tribute in the context of the titles of some of Dr. Lamb's many publications. As a visionary leader and gifted orator, as a multifaceted intellectual and powerful thinker, Dr. Lamb has devoted his life to the Jewish community. His royal reach has embraced those who have both faith and doubt, and the profundity of his teachings has illuminated many of the 70 faces of Judaism, especially Torah Umada. His thoughtful writings have contributed to our understanding of both Reb Chaim Volozhiner's Torah Lishma, as well as the religious thought of Hasidism. His works have constructed a hedge of roses, protecting and enhancing the treasury of tradition, the halachos and the halichos of Jewish life, lore, and practice. Collectively, they comprise a veritable library of Jewish law and ethics, serving as guidelines to contemporary Jewish life. In a lifetime of service to Klal Yisrael, Dr. Lamb has valiantly toiled to ensure that contemporary Jewish life be a good society, governed by the values of Shema, or respect for listening. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Dr. Lamb, should grant you many, many more years of good health and of sound mind to continue to be what you are for us, to continue to be the foremost spokesman of the values that we espouse and hold so dear, and to be able to enjoy with Mindy, with Mrs. Lamb, who we acknowledge here today, and with all the members of your exceptional an extraordinary family. Mazel tov to you on this honor. It is a great honor for me to share the program this morning with Chief Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks. We acknowledge, together with Lady Elaine, who is here with us this morning, Rabbi Sacks, longtime friend, a most gifted and articulate spokesman for Judaism and for Jewish values within the Jewish community and in the world at large. Nobody else could possibly be the first recipient of the Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb Prize. Kollel Yom Rishon, Midrashet Yom Rishon is part of a series of programs sponsored by the CJF, the Center for the Jewish Future, here at Yeshiva University. We're involved with inspiring students at Yeshiva, serving communities outside of Yeshiva, sharing the Torah of YU. It's an honor for me to be part of the CJF team, and I want to thank specifically Rabbi Rob Shore for all the work that he continuously does for us and for our community. I'm happy that so many of you have joined us today. I especially want to welcome and acknowledge the presence of Mrs. Esther Joel, who is here, and of my mother, Mrs. Penina Schachter, who honors me with her presence. Last week, we entered into Chodesh Nisan, known as the Chodesh HaGeula. Next week, we will enter into the holiday of Pesach, known as the Chag HaGeula. This is the time of year when our focus is on redemption. And I'm having difficulty feeling the mood of redemption. We're living in very difficult and perplexing times. We face huge challenges. There is a lot that we don't know and we don't understand. The state of Israel is under tremendous pressure from its enemies who continue to seek its destruction. The recent tensions between the state of Israel and our own country, the United States of America, rising anti-Semitism in Europe and all over the world, apathy to Judaism among so many American Jews, and all of this before the terrible tragedy just over a week ago in my own home community of Teaneck, when two men were killed by a tree that fell down during a terrible storm. I'm not feeling comfortable, and I'm not feeling relaxed. I know that I am fully, totally, and completely Biyad Hashem. I am in the hands of God. All of us are in the hands of God. But I'm having trouble feeling the closeness. I'm suffused with a feeling of insecurity. I'm very conscious of my and of our vulnerability. In this Chodesh HaGeula, in anticipation of the forthcoming Chag HaGeula, I'm having trouble feeling Geula. I feel anxious and unsettled and a little bit nervous. And so the question is, what could I do? And to the extent to which you share my feelings, what is it that I could suggest perhaps that all of us could be thinking about at this time? I want to begin by posing four questions. For some reason, I thought that four questions would be an appropriate way to frame this presentation. I hope you will have a copy of the handout that was prepared, the copy of the sheets. Now's the time to turn to page one. The Mishnah says in Maseches Brachos, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, it's a Mishnah that we know very well, it's found its way into the Haggadah, Maskirin Yitzias Mitzrayim Balelos, that there's a halacha to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim at night. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Harei Ani Kaven Shivim Shana, V'lo Zochisi Sheteyomer Yitzias Mitzrayim Balelos. I knew the halacha, I didn't know the source until I found the source. L'man tiskeres yom tzeischa me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecha hayamim kol, the extra word kol, yemei chayecha halelos. The story of the exodus from Egypt, of Yitzias Mitzrayim, is so important that we have to mention it all year round. We have to mention it every single day. We have to mention it day and night. And the place where we do this is in Kriya Shema. If you look at the top of page 2, the Rambam Paskins at the beginning of Hilchas Kriya Shema, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel. Top of page 2, Afal Pi She'ein Mitzvas Tzitzis Noheges Balayla, Korinos of Balayla. So Homachlokas Rishonim is to what constitutes the Doraisa of Kriya Shema. And the Rambam says that the last parsha of Kriya Shema, parsha of Tzitzis, is not relevant at night. So why do we say the parsha of Tzitzis at night? Not because of the parsha of Tzitzis, but because this parsha contains b'pnei sheyesh ba zichron yitzias mitzrayim. U'mitzvah, and the Rambam continues, u'mitzvah lahaskir yitzias mitzrayim bayom u'balayim. That the obligation to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim by Yom U'Balayla actually shapes the content of Kriya Shema. And so my first question is, what is the nature of the connection between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriya Shema? Here is one mitzvah, here is another mitzvah. Why do we connect the two? What is it about Kriya Shema that attracts the mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? My second question is the question that Yehuda HaLevi asked Avraham Ibn Ezra. They had a family relationship, they were part of the same family. And in his commentary on the Aseres HaDibros, right at the beginning, Avraham Ibn Ezra quotes from Yehuda HaLevi. The beginning of the second paragraph, at the bottom of page 2, Sho'alani Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi Minuchas HaKavod, Loma Hiskir Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Otzosicha Meyeretz Mitzrayim, V'lo Omar She'osisi Shomayim V'oretz V'ani Asisicha. When the Rabbanu Shel Olam introduces himself to Klal Yisrael at the beginning of Revelation, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes out his calling card and says, it's me, we are now about to embark on a journey, we are now about to embark on a tremendous relationship, and I just want to introduce myself, I am Anochi Hashem Elokecha who took you out of Egypt. And Yehuda HaLevi asks the famous question, why did he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, choose the story of the Exodus as his calling card? Why did he not go all the way at the beginning and say, I am the God who created the world? We don't have to wait until Yetzias Mitzrayim in order for God to have done something significant. Lama hizkir anochi Hashem Elokecha asher otzisicha meretz Mitzrayim v'lo amar she'osisi shamayim v'aretz. My third question has to do with what I consider to be the foundational and central text of the Haggadah, certainly in the first half of the Haggadah, a text on which we focus, top of page 3, an enormous attention. We examine and we analyze this text, word by word, phrase by phrase, verse by verse. And it's the Parsha of Avos Bikurim in Parshas Kisavo. The Torah tells us when we come into the land, so we're blessed, Baruch Hashem, we have a little bit of shtickle of fruit, something came out, a little figala, a little epis, the first little thing, we wrap a little bendel around it, and we come running to the Kohen, we're so excited, and then V'anisa V'amarta Lefnei Hashem Elokecha. And then what begins is the parsha of Havas Bikurim, what the one who brings the Bikurim recites, and it is this text that is the central and foundational text, word by word. We analyze, we darshan every single word, every single phrase of this text. My third question is, why do we have to wait until all the way at the end of the Torah? Why do you have to wait all the way till Parshas Kisavo to find the text that it's appropriate for us to darshan on the night of Pesach? Why don't we find the text in Sefer Shmos? Why don't we find the text somewhere in Vayera, and Bo, and Bishalach? Why don't we analyze carefully a text that actually tells us, at the moment, the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim? If tonight is the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Fold Nechagan, I have to schlep all the way till the end of the Torah to find the text, Atadua, right here, telling the story. The parshios that tell the story, why are those not considered to be appropriate? Why do I have to wait all the way until the end? And my last question is, what's the significance of opening the door at Shvo Chamascha? We finish benching. We're shtigla groggy. It's already 1 o'clock in the morning. We spent a lot of time analyzing the first part of the Haggadah. We had, Baruch Hashem, a wonderful meal. Mekayim all the mitzvahs, almost in their completion. We still have a few more to go. And we're shtickle tired, and we're gearing up. We're gearing up for a very significant part of the Seder. And we stand up and we open the door at Shvo Chamascha. Why do we open the door? What's the significance of opening the door at Shvo Chamascha? And so to summarize the four questions, number one, what's the connection between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriya Shema? The second question is Yehuda HaLevi's question, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduce himself as the God of redemption and not the God of creation? Number three, why do we have to wait until all the way at the end of the Torah in order to find the text that's appropriate to darshan on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Couldn't we find another one much earlier? And the fourth question is the significance of opening the door. I want to begin with the fourth question. I want to posit a principle that I think will help us understand all of the issues that I raise, and perhaps will provide us with some approach to be able to appreciate the presence of God under all circumstances. The Torah says in Parshas Bo, in the middle of page 3, the right-hand side, describing the event of Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is the moment. This is the moment the Jews left Egypt. And then the Torah uses one phrase twice to describe this night. Leil Shimurim Hu LaHashem Lohotziyam Eretz Mitzrayim Hu Halaylo Hazel LaHashem Shimurim Lechol Bnei Yisrael Ledoros. It's a Leil Shimurim. And it's not only a Leil Shimurim once, it's actually Shimurim twice in the same pasuk. So the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel on the left-hand side understands that Shimurim here is mentioned twice. It requires a hesber, it requires an explanation. And the Targum Yonasan says as follows. Four lines from the bottom at the end. Hu laylo hadein. Nitir mimalocha mechablo l'chol b'nei Yisrael dibim Mitzrayim. Number one, it's a leil shimurim, it's a leil of guarding. God guards, God protects. It's a light of guarding from the destructive angels. Mimalocha mechablo bim Mitzrayim. That on this night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected us from those destructive forces who wanted to destroy us in Egypt, and we emerged successfully, Baruch Hashem. That's the first Shimurim. V'chein l'mifrakon migalvashon lidoreon. That there's also a future element here. That the Shimurim is shayach not only for the night of Pesach, when it happened, the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But this is a night when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will redeem us, will guard us, and will protect us from other exiles in future generations. So the way the Targum understands it, one, Leil Shimurim is for the past, or in this case, in the moment of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the second Shimurim is in the future. That somehow this night is a night when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect us in the future as well from other exiles. L'mifrakon migalvashon, migalvashon milashon golos, lidareihon, lidairidairis, for future generations. You can understand that all of the Mefarshim are sensitive to the double lashon of Shimurim. So the Rashbam has a different shot. Leil Shimurim hu LaHashem miyamos aviyem. HaYakadosh Baruch Hu mitzapa l'zeh ha'layla l'hutzi es b'nei Yisrael mimitzrayim k'mo she'evticha. Number one is Leil Shimurim hu LaHashem, and Shimurim means looking forward. Shimurim means anticipating. Shimurim means waiting. And we have such a pasuk with Yosef and the dreams. Pasuk says va'aviv shamar es hadavar. He was looking forward to this. He was anticipating the fulfillment of the dreams. Mitzapeh. Shehoya HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzapeh. God was waiting. God was waiting from the days of the Elter Zedis, Miyamos Aviyem already. God was waiting for this night in order to be able to redeem the Jews from Egypt. So that's the first. Leil Shimurim Hu LaHashem. The second Shimurim is not LaHashem. Notice the pasuk says Beferish. Who is the second Shimurim relevant to? Shimurim L'chol B'nei Yisrael L'dorosam. Uli Yisrael Hu Leil Shimurim continues the Rashbam L'dorosam. L'chol Dorosam, it's for the Jewish people. Shem Mitzapim again. They look forward L'zeh HaLailov. L'chol Bo Chaga Pesach K'mishpatov. The first Leil Shimurim is Hashem was anticipating all the way back that on this night he would redeem the Jewish people. The second Shimurim is Klal Yisrael is looking forward every year, mitzapa, to be able to celebrate the night of Pesach, to celebrate the redemption from Egypt. Rashi, in his commentary, utilizes a Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah. And this, of course, is a classic example of the methodology of Rashi in his Perush Al HaTorah, the exegetical methodology of Rashi, as opposed to, let's say, the Rashba. So the Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, at the bottom of the page on the right-hand side, it's Machlekes Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua says, B'nissen Nigalu, B'nissen Asidin Ligoel. And Rabbi Eliezer says, B'tishrei Asidin Ligoel. So Machlekes says, to which month, on which month will the final redemption take place? Says the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Yad Aleph Amid Beis, the bottom of the page, Rabbi Yeshua Amar, B'nissen Nigalu, B'nissen Asidin Ligoel, Minolan, how do you know? Amar Kra, Beferish HaPasik, we just read it. Amar Kra, the Pasik says, Leil Shimurin. What does Leil Shimurin mean? Leil HaMeshumar Uba, Misheshes Yimei Bereishis. It's a day that is set aside. It's a day of anticipation. It's a day of watching, of caring over, of looking over. Misheshes Yimei Bereishis, for the final redemption. So the final redemption is going to happen in Chodesh Nisan. B'Nisan Nigalu, B'Nisan Asidan Ligoel, that's the Leil Shimurim, it's going to go on the Geulah HaAsidan. The Idach, and what do you do with Rebbe Eliezer? Rebbe Eliezer's opinion is that the final redemption is not going to happen in the month of Nisan, but in the month of Tishrei. Says the Gemara, Laila HaMeshumar Uba Min HaMazikin. What does Leil Shimurim mean? It doesn't mean that we're looking forward to redemption on this night and this season and this month. But it has an entirely different meaning. It's a night of protection. Leil Shimurim, tonight, the night of Pesach, the night of the 15th, is a night when HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us. Look at Rashi now in his commentary on the Pasuk. Two Leil Shimurims. First, Leil Shimurim, says Rashi, in the middle of the second line, Shehoya HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shomer U'mitzapa Lo L'kayim Avtachaso Lo Tziyah Me'aretz Mitzrayim. Number one is historically contingent. It's a function of that night that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the night of Pesach is looking forward to take us out of Egypt. Notice once again, Shomer U'mitzapa, looking forward, anticipating. And then, Shimurim L'cho B'nei Yisrael L'dorosam. What does that mean? Mishumar U'bo Min Hamazik. It's a day that is protected from evil forces. It's a day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a night when HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us from evil forces. And so we have a notion of a special divine protection on the night of Pesach. The night of Pesach is known as Leil Shimurim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us. And even when we don't feel the protection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's there. And maybe the avoda is to try to bring ourselves to feel the protection of the Ribono Shel Olam. The notion that Pesach is a Leil Shimurim has halachic implications, top of page 4. There are a number of them. There are actually 5 or 6, but I'm just going to give you 2. The first one is when it comes to the nusach of Kriyat Shema Lamita that we recite on the night of Pesach. So normally we have a whole Arichas. We're actually going to come back to a piece of it at the end. However, on the night of Pesach, says the Ramban Simin Tov Pei Aleph, 2 lines from the bottom, V'noagim shalo likros al mitaso rak parsa shma v'lo shar dvarim shekaren b'shar alelos. Normally we have a whole nusach. There's a lot to say, Kriya Shema Lamita. We dispense with all of that on the night of Pesach. We only say Shema. V'asab is, why do we only say Shema? Because in order to indicate Ki Leil Shimurim Hu Min HaMazikim, in order to show that this night is a Leil Shimurim. The Machtzis HaShekel explains in his commentary on the Magen Avraham, right below, V'yoser Ein Ra'ui Lomar, we don't say anymore, because the purpose of Kriya Shema Lamita is the Havel Shmira, is for protection. And if we would say the whole thing, ונראה שאינו מיימן חס ושולם לדברי חכמנו זל שהוא ליל שימורים. Somehow it would show that we don't have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that tonight is a Leil Shimurim, and if we're going to keep on saying the entire Shema, which is meant for protection, it means we're not feeling the protection. We don't believe that tonight, Chazal tell us, is a Leil Shimurim. So in order to express that belief, we curtail the pieces of Shema that are normally set for protection because we don't need them because we believe that we're protected. Which brings me to the issue of question number four, and that is the opening of the door. So the opening of the door is not so pashut. So I thought for a long time that that's why we open the door. But that's the only reason why we open the door. Why do we open the door? Because tonight is a Leil Shimurim. I'm not afraid. I'm going to open the door. I'm going to show that I have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm going to symbolize that via welcoming everything, opening up the door, not having any problem. Turns out that there's another significant association with opening the door that's found in Gaonic literature and in some of the Rishonim. If you look on the bottom of page 4, so in the Otzer HaGaonim, in Masachas Pesachim, on the Pasuk of Leil Shimurim, Matzasi b'Megillas Sesorim, I found the Megillas Sesorim. Megillas Sesorim was written by Rabbeinu Nisim, who's lived, either he was one of the Gaonim or lived during the time of the Gaonim. Ra'isi me rabbona aluf, I saw from my teacher, my master, Abba, lo hoya soger dalse habayis asher anu yoshvim bo klau, never closed the doors. Udulasos habayis psuchos, and the doors of the house were open. Why? Why are the doors open? Kishiyavar Eliyahu, neitze lekroso b'mehera b'lo ikuv. Eliyahu Navi is going to come. We welcome Eliyahu Navi to the Seder. It's not just a symbolic welcoming, but Mamish Eliyahu Navi is going to walk through the door. How sad would it be if Eliyahu has to knock on the door and we have to go run to the door and open up the door? We're going to lose 3.5 seconds of welcoming Eliyahu Navi. So therefore we keep the door open. So it should be glat. It should be gleich. There's nothing. We don't have to, there's no hefsek. There's nothing that's stopping us. If you look in the Sefer HaManig on the left-hand side, Rabbi Avraham Rav Nosson HaYarchi lived in Provence, in southern France in the 12th century. Uminak bekama mekomos she'ein noal in hachadorim she'yishenim behem b'layle ha-Pesach. For him, it wasn't just an Indian to open it by Shvoch HaMazra. By them, Noagim became a Mekomos Bechlal, they kept the doors open. Ki benissa nigalu, benissa nono asidin ligoyal, dechziv leil shimurim hula Hashem. Laila ha-meshumar uba mi-sheshes imei bereshes, it's a day set aside already from the beginning of creation for a time of redemption. Vim yavo Eliyahu, yimtza abayis basuach, v'yeitze likroso mehera. We should be redeemed b'mehera b'yomeinu. Look in the Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch, on the bottom right-hand side. So the Ramah codifies this lahalacha in Simin Tafpei. Hagav v'yesh omrim, 3-4 lines from the bottom. Lomar shvoch hamotzcha kodim lo lanu. V'livtoach ha-pesach, the minig is to open the door by shvoch hamotzcha. Shehu liskor, k'day liskor, to remember, shehu leil shimurim. U'beschus emunazu, yavo Moshiach, v'yishboch chamaso al ha'akl. It's a leil shimurim, and in the schus of our belief that it's a leil shimurim, which I think the Ramah really means what Rav Nissen Gaon means and what the Manhig meant, and that is it's a day that we're anticipating the arrival of Mashiach. It's a time of redemption of Geula. And in the schus of that, which we express by keeping the door open, in the schus of that, Mashiach should come, shvoch hamascha, and take revenge on those who sought to destroy us. Both the Magen Avraham and the Chok Yaakov add an interesting caveat. Don't be such a knocker. Don't open up the door so fast. Zok the Magen Avraham at the end, v'hecha d'shchiyach hazeka, but before that, kosav maharil, Delo yinol hadeles bebereach chazak. Zonish meinin, it means you should open the door. It means you shouldn't have five locks. You should have 2.5 locks. You don't have such a lock, a bereach chazak. Ve'echa d'shchiyah chazeka lo samchina nanisa. When there's a potential for danger, you know, you leave the door open. This is a time of year when our neighbors celebrate a particular holiday that historically has meant terrible destruction for the Jewish people. You can open up the door. It's Shchiya Chazeka. So keep the door closed. The Chok Yaakov says, next to the last line, underlined, Ve'ein no'agim kein lohaniach pesach pasuach ki Shchiya Chazeka diganovin. So he was worried about ganovim. I think I would be worried about a lot more than ganovim. So we don't open the door. And it seems to me that we live our lives in the space. We live our lives in the space between Leil Shimurim, where we feel palpably that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is engaged with us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu embraces us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu supports us. We live our lives in between that reality, where we feel it, and we certainly know it, and the reality of Shchiya Chazeka, the reality that it's a tough world out there, that Israel lives in a bad neighborhood, that anti-Semitism is a fact of life, and that trees fall down in heavy windstorms. We live believing in God, while at the same time we yearn to experience the protection and the embrace and the support and the hug of that God. We're in between. Why do we leave the door open? Question number 4. Because we yearn for redemption. We don't want there to be anything that could possibly hold back Eliyo from coming into our houses and from us to welcoming Eliyo. We yearn for redemption. And on Pesach, we are led to experience that it's a Leil Shimurim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a protector. And the night of Pesach is a night all about God. Question number 3. Why do we wait until Dvarim to find Psukim to Darshan on the night of Pesach? What happened to the first half of Sefer Shmos? And I would like to suggest that there is one thing gained by going all the way to Dvarim and not choosing something from Shmos. And I would suggest that what we gain is to avoid invoking the name or the role of Moshe Rabbeinu on Pesach night. If we were to go to Shmos, Moshe Rabbeinu is unavoidable. Vu Megitzah Hadrei is Moshe Rabbeinu. We want to avoid mentioning Moshe Rabbeinu. We recognize that the night of Pesach is a night all about God. And it's a night all about God to such an extent that we want to remove Moshe from the Haggadah. And that's why I am suggesting we go all the way till the end. It's easier to give yourself an etzah how to not mention Moshe when you're all the way in Kisavah. It's impossible if you're in Shmos. Now, the place or the lack thereof of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Haggadah is a fascinating issue and has often been pointed out. Actually, it's not so pashut. If you look at the top right of page 5, lo and behold, Moshe Rabbeinu is in the Haggadah. After the Eser Makos, after Rabbi Yudah Yonasim ben Simonim, Ditzach Hadash Ba'achav, Rabbi Yisrael Aglili Oimer, Minayin Atoimer Shaloko Amitrim B'Mitzrayim Eser Makos, B'Mitzrayim Ahu Omer, V'Alayom Ahu Omer. And then comes a pasuk, and wow, Moshe Rabbeinu is in the Haggadah. Vayar Yisrael asiyad ha'gdol asher asa Hashem b'mitzrayim, vayir ames Hashem, vayaminu b'Hashem b'moshe avdo. Rav Soloveitchik, in one of his writings, says the following. Moses' name was eliminated from the pages of the Haggadah as if he had never existed. But we are a grateful people. We feel sorry for him on Pesach night. So Tudvei, Moshe Rabbeinu, how could it be? We feel sorry for Moshe Rabbeinu. I remember that when I was a small child, I asked why Moses is not mentioned in the Haggadah. And all the answers my father gave me were futile. Simply, I cried. A little boy. That Moshe Rabbeinu is not in the Haggadah, he cries. Finally, my father, in order to placate me, found the name of Moshe in the Haggadah. It's not in the Haggadah proper, but in the proof text. Vayaminu ba'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo. This calmed my mind somewhat, but I still felt that we were committing an injustice against Moses. Take a look on the left-hand side of page 5. Lo and behold, even this is not so pashut. If you look in the Nusach of the Haggadah in the Seder of Amram Gaon, it's an amazing thing. He quotes the Tzach Hadash Ba'achav. He quotes Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Minayin Ata Omer, and so on, B'Mitzrayim Ata Omer, Val Hayom Mahu Omer, the top left-hand side of page 5, in the Seder HaHaggadah of Rav Amram Gaon. You could put one finger on our Haggadah, one finger on Rav Amram, and lo and behold, Val Hayom Mahu Omer, Vayar Yisrael, Eseyon HaGadod. That's it. Thus felt Moshe Rabbeinu. Even Nebuchadnezzar would have been beside himself as a child. Even this little shtikala epis, some hint to Moshe Rabbeinu, is gone in the Haggadah of Rav Amram Gaon. And what's the reason? I suggest not chas v'shalom, it's an injustice to Moshe. But it's out of a recognition and an acknowledgement that this night belongs to God. This night is a Leil Shimur. This night is a night when the Ribbono Shel Olam is with us. This night is the night that we're obligated to feel the absolute centrality of Ribbono Shel Olam in our lives, ad kedei kach, to such an extent that it eclipses everything and everyone else. What do we say in the Haggadah, in the middle of the left-hand side of page 5? V'yotzi'inu Hashem mi'Mitzrayim lo al yedei malach v'lo al yedei sora v'lo al yedei sholiach ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo. V'yavarti, next paragraph, Eretz Mitzrayim b'laylo azah ani v'lei malach, ani v'lei sarf, ani v'lei ha-shaliach. The focus is consistently on the centrality of the place of God. I'll show you something really fascinating. A, to me, sharp example of the lengths to which we go not to mention Moshe in the Haggadah. The bottom left, we have a paragraph that we're all familiar with. Mitchila uvdei avodah zorah hayu avoseinu. V'achshav kevranu amakam la'avodah so shenemar. And we quote a pasuk in Sefer Yehoshua, Perek Chavdal. V'yomer Yehoshua al kol ha'am, ko amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael be'ivra anor Yehoshua avoseichem me'olam, terech avi Avraham v'avi Nochor, v'yavdu elohim acherim. And we keep on going until v'yakuv levanov yordu Mitzrayim. Now it's interesting that this is supposed to be a proof text of Mitchila Ovde Avodazora Hayo Avoseinu, Va'achshav Kervano Amokam La Avodasa. But it's not just a proof text of Mitchila Ovde Avodazora Hayo Avoseinu, because we keep on going. If you look on the right hand side in Sefer Yehoshua, Perek Chav Dalid, it ends with the end of Pasuk Dalid. Pasuk Dalid, Veten Liyitzchok Es Yaakov Eseso, Veten Leso Vesarsei Lereshisoso, V'yakov Uvanov Yordu Mitzrayim, stop, end of quote. But we're in the middle. We're in the middle of a story. What's the next pasuk in Sefer Yehoshua that we do not include in our Haggadah? V'eshlach es Moshe v'esar. Thematically, it fits right in. Mitchil oiv de'avei d'zor ha'aviseinu. V'achshav kervanu amakam l'vahadah. So we stop consciously. Perhaps, I'm suggesting, in order to make sure that we don't mention the name of Moshe Rabbeinu. If you look at the top of page 6, the Gra, in his parish on the Haggadah, points this out and notes the centrality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lochein b'chol ha-sipur. Yitzias Mitzrayim. Ein lanu zichron liskor chas v'sholom es Moshe. It's a very powerful phrase. Chas v'sholom, we should mention Moshe, on a night that's devoted fully to the centrality of the presence of God. Ki osur lanu, it's prohibited, l'shatev shum dover, l'chvodo li'atzmo ve'ena shevach tolu b'moshe rak b'ashem levado. And how do we refer to Moshe? V'yaminu b'ashem u'v'moshe avdo. The whole connection to Moshe, the whole reference to Moshe, is to Moshe as an Eved Hashem. It's not Moshe the Redeemer, it's not Moshe the Savior, it's not Moshe the Teacher. It's Moshe the Servant of God. Because that's the only way that he could be in the Haggadah, if he is at all. Question number two. Yehuda Halevi asked Rabbi Avraham ben Ezra, why does God identify himself as the God of redemption and not the God of creation? On page 7, the Mishnah tells us something very famous. Maschil b'gnus u'mesayim b'shvach. The end of the Mishnah, in the middle of Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph and Masechus Pesachim, Maschil b'gnus u'mesayim b'shvach. Says the Gemara at the end, at the bottom of the Amid, Maschil b'gnus u'mesayim b'shvach, my b'gnus. So there's a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Rav Amar metchila oivdei avodas kechavim, gilulim hayu avoseinu. So we know what the Maschil b'gnus is. So it's a machlekes. One says, we go all the way back, the beginning of time. And the other one says, no, the gnus that we begin with is Avadim Ayim. And then the Gemara tells a very interesting story. For et Rav Elvu Brisker, the Gemara only took care of half of the Mishnah. The Gemara only addressed half of the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, there's a beginning, and there's an end. Maschil b'gnus u'mesayim b'shvach. What does the Gemara do? The Gemara asks, my b'gnus. What should the Gemara have done? The Gemara should have also asked, my mesayim b'shvach. That the Gemara doesn't answer. Top of page 8. Says the Brisker Rav, Rav Velvu Brisker the Grizz. Top of page 8. Quotes the Gemara, third line, V'lo nisbayer b'gemara mahu ha-mesayim b'shvach. The Gemara doesn't tell us what the siyum b'shvach is. V'hinei l'rav, the maschil b'gnus hu mitchila evdei avedazor haya avoseinu. So it's obvious. If the beginning is, we were evdei avedazor, so the ending is, v'achshav kevronu ha-mokam la'avodosu. What about Shmuel who says that the beginning is avadim ayinu? And he answers, and I'm suggesting that this is in keeping with the theme that I'm trying to develop this morning, that according to Shmuel, it's also the same Siyum Mishvach, V'achshav Kervanu Hamagam La'avodosu. Because what happened on the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim? The Inekziv Bivayikra, right in the middle, on the top of page 8, Ki Avodai Heim Asher Hotzesi Yosom Eretz Mitzrayim. Pasuk says, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, avodai heim, asher hotzeisi osa me'eretz Mitzrayim, ani Hashem. V'heinu debi yitzias Mitzrayim, kiblu Yisrael ma'ilo, shenasu avdei Hashem. When was the closeness forged between God and the Jewish people? When was this unique relationship established between God and the Jewish people? When did God assume such an absolutely fundamentally central role in the consciousness of the Jewish people? It happened at Yitzias Mitzrayim. As the Pasuk says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Lehiyos Lachem Le'elokim. That's the Siyum B'Shvach. And that's why I am suggesting that since the event of Yitzias Mitzrayim is what created the closeness between God and the Jewish people, we became Avdei Hashem, we became something unique, we became something special. The specialness of this relationship was forged at that moment. So that's why when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to move on that relationship, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to now say that there is also a legal relationship, there's also an obligation, there are a set of principles, there's now going to be an Aseret HaDibros, there's now going to be a Torah, the way he introduces himself to this people before giving this Torah is to acknowledge that he is the one at that event of Yetzias Mitzrayim who created this relationship. At the greatest moment of revelation, the drama and the excitement and the power, the Kailis Uvrakim, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduce himself? Not as the God of creation, but the God of redemption. The God of the Exodus is the closest God. The night of the Exodus is Leil Shimurim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is meant to be overwhelming. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role takes center stage, ad kidei kach, to the exclusion of everything and everyone else. Which brings me to answer the first question. What's the connection between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriya Shema? Once again, Rav Elvel Brisker, the middle of page 8. The connection between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriya Shema. The mikivan shekol hatachle shel Yetzias Mitzrayim hu lihiyos lochem leilokim. Since Yetzias Mitzrayim is an event that establishes this closeness and this connection and this relationship, hare yesh bozeh kabolas ol malchus shamayim v'shaper shayachas l'kriya shema. As a matter of fact, Kriya Shema and Yetzias Mitzrayim share at their core the fundamental awareness that this is now a special relationship. Yetzias Mitzrayim creates it and Shema continues it. Kabbalas O Malcha Shemayim. We have a connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, if we're going to have to be Mekayim the mitzvah of maskirin Yetzias Mitzrayim ba'leilos kol yemei chayecha, we're going to do it in a place that already reflects that theme, the theme of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, the theme of Avodai Hain, the theme of the closeness of the relationship, the theme of Leil Shimurim, the theme of HaKadosh Baruch Hu introducing himself to the Jewish people as the God of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And I want to suggest something interesting that just occurred to me this year. I was always troubled by a section in the Haggadah. Ma'aseh Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, Shai Mesubim, Bivnei Vrak. V'ayim Misaprin, you know the story, it's not Zirat, you know it by heart. V'ayim Misaprin, V'yitzias Mitzrayim, Koloso, Halayla, Achabot, Hamidem, V'amr Lahem, Rabbi Seinu, Igiyaz Ma'kriyash Ma'ashol Shachas. I was always troubled. Sashtik Elochutz B'dik. Here the great rabbis are sitting around. They're talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the upstart Talmidim walk in. It's 4:36. You got to stop. You got to go say Kriya Shema. Epis Sapasnish. I don't know. They knocked on the door. They didn't knock on the door. This whole exchange bothered me until I realized that what they came to tell their Rabbeim was not stop what you're doing. It's 4:36. Achabot Talmidim v'amru lahem. A whole night you're talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. A whole night, that's the text. Vayu Misaprim B'Yetzias Mitzrayim. A whole night, you understand what Yetzias Mitzrayim represents. You understand the closeness. You understand that Avodai Hem, it's on this night that this relationship was established. Now it's time to say Shema. Now you could segue, not it's a hefsek. It's one continuation. After understanding Yetzias Mitzrayim, Koloso Alayla, now we're holding to be able to say Kriya Shema, to be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim, because it's Hainu Ach, it's a continuation, not Zman in the sense of time, but Zman in the sense of moment, Zman in the sense of a capacity to do so. Because Kriya Shema and Yetzias Mitzrayim is one. Because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduces himself as the God of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we wait until Devarim, because we don't want even Moshe Rabbeinu in the Haggadah. And that's why we open the door. Because tonight is a Leil Shimurim, when we are bidden to really palpably sense the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to conclude with the following. When I was a teenager, I would come with my father, Rabbi Herschel Schachter, a few times a year to this room, to this very auditorium. And we came to listen to the Rav Zatzal, to Rabbi Soloveitchik. Could have been the Yahrzeit cheer for his father year after year. It was a lecture every year in memory of his wife, mother. I don't remember now exactly, but maybe even the early tshuva drushes
Ben Kessel La'asar also began in this room. I sat as a teenager in the back. Very often I sat in the balcony. And I was mesmerized, and I was overwhelmed. For a few hours, I was transported to an entirely different world. My heart and my mind were on fire. In a million trillion years, I could never ever have imagined that I would have the schus to stand at this podium. And for this, like for so much else, I express my gratitude to President Joel. But I want to conclude with Rabbi Soloveitchik. I want to conclude with a passage from the Rav. Turn to the last page. This text of the Rav, I believe, is overlooked and underappreciated. It's a talk that the Rav gave in Congregation Kehillat Jeshurun on the Upper East Side of Manhattan on December 6, 1972, which brings me back full circle to the beginning and to the point of departure of my talk. The left-hand side, man is an exposed being. He is exposed to disease, second paragraph, and he is exposed to death. Of course, the beast is also exposed. The beast of the field is also vulnerable. Yes. However, the beast is not homeless. Even a stray dog is not a homeless dog, because a beast knows nothing and doesn't anticipate anything. Man is aware of himself and his environment and anticipates events. Since he has an awareness of time and he looks forward to the future, he is conscious of his vulnerability. We speak quite often of our desire to achieve security, but total security is unattainable, since the very awareness of man is fraught with a feeling of insecurity. How then can we speak of a home for man if the home fails to provide him with security? We read, Hinei mitoso shel shlomo shishim giborim sofuv lo migibori Yisrael. Kulam achuzei cherev melumdei mulchama ishcharba al yerecho mi pachad baleinos. What kind of story does this verse relate? It pictures the hall with the litter or bed of Solomon guarded by Shishim Giborim, 70 mighty men of the mighty men of Israel. All handle the sword and are expert in war, yet every man has his sword upon his thigh because of the dread of the night. Mipachad baleinos. I remember how as a little boy, I was studying with my Rebbe Shira Shira. And when we came across this passage, I asked him, what is the dread of the night? What is Mipachad baleinos? What does that mean? It's like an amazing thing for a little boy not to know. What is Mipachad baleilos? He didn't answer me. But the question nevertheless kept bothering my mind. I came home and I asked my mother. Didn't ask his father. He asked his mother. What is Mipachad baleilos? Mommy, mom, what is Mipachad baleilos? I learned today in Cheder. Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. I don't understand it. What does it mean? Mipachad baleinos. What is the dread of the night? My mother didn't answer me. She told me, read Shema and go to bed. When she tucked me in, I forgot the dread of the night. For decades, ever since I read this article, I felt sorry for the Rav. He asked the question, Segeitim and Ledni, he wants to know, Pasuk in Tanakh. And to use modern parlance, his mother blew him off. His mother said, say Shema and go to sleep. Hakmanish Kinchayim. He himself says, my mother didn't answer me. Over 60 years later, Seligdim and Kup, my mother didn't answer me. I obviously know nothing, but I would suggest that his mother did answer him. His mother said to him, if you want not to feel Mipachad Baleilos, if you want to overcome the sense of alienation and fear and loneliness, you know what you should do? Beryl, you should go read the Shema. Because the Shema is the antidote. The notion of a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The notion of a closeness. The notion of the fact that God is central in our lives. The notion of Kabbalah Somach Shemai. That will help take away from you the pachad baleinos. You feel vulnerable. You feel insecure. You feel afraid. You feel alone. Read the Shema. Yitzias Mitzrayim is linked to the Shema, because it's all cut of the same cloth, the presence of God. Kodesh Baruch Hu introduced himself at the Aseres HaDibros as the God of Yitzias Mitzrayim. We go to Dvarim and not Shmos, because God is so central, even Moshe Rabbeinu is forgotten, because Pesach is a little shimur. Kodesh Baruch Hu should give us the power and the wisdom and the strength to be able to feel the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look at the bottom of page 8, the Rav says about his mother, I consider this to be the Rav's mother, Lishitasa. The Rav's mother, when she said, say the Shema, because the Shema is the antidote for Mipachat Balelos, the Rav writes that he learned from his mother the most important thing in the middle at the bottom of page 8, to feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of his hand resting upon my frail shoulders. If we could feel the presence of the Almighty, if we could feel the gentle pressure of his hand resting on our shoulders, then we will be fortified. Please God, taking our lesson from the night of Pesach, to be able to face whatever we have to face, and to be able to be blessed with the Chag HaGeulah, with the Chodesh HaGeulah, with an immediate redemption, and with a final redemption. Ben Hera, B'Yameinu.